Amen. You can be seated and let's get right to it. I want to just jump right in.
Amen.
This month we are looking at a series of messages on the workplace. And this morning our message is titled, A Working Strategy. A Working Strategy. A Working Strategy. The workday is strategic to God's purposes in our lives. It's not a pause in the work that God is doing. And then he resumes it when we come to church. He doesn't push pause when it comes to our workday. Whatever your job is today, whatever it is, where you are is no accident.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Yes, indeed.
Sometimes you may think it is. But where you are is no accident. It's no coincidence. You applied and you were hired because the will of God made it so. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been. It's no coincidence. And think of it. How many of us, you think about where you are professionally right now, how many of us would have placed ourselves exactly where we are today in our work life? How many of us would have placed ourselves 5 years ago where we are today? Exactly. 5 years from now, I'm going to be exactly where you are today. None of us. And even if we thought we would be, and even if we thought we'd be with the same employer, we didn't think our jobs would look like it looks today.
Amen.
The people who surround us are different. But God has been weaving his plans through our jobs and our careers all along. That's been the constant. The scripture says the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Amen. So glad about that.
And so where you are today is no accident and it's no coincidence. God has big ideas for where you are. Big ideas. Bigger than you could even imagine. Bigger than I can even imagine. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's look at our text passage here. Again, this morning's message is titled, The Working Strategy, and our text is 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Corinthians 15, I'm starting in verse 50, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, or verse 58 there. Okay. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, thank you, Lord, not might sound. One, you know, that day, the trumpet will sound. And the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So if you're taking notes, what I want to draw out of this passage is this main idea. A winning strategy for work is learning to trust God at work. A winning strategy for work is learning to trust God at work. Now, I phrased this very specifically and very carefully. Notice that I didn't say a winning strategy for work is trusting God at work. I said learning to trust God is the strategy. Because there is something going on in the process of learning to trust Him. Not just when we're standing there firm and full and I'm really standing rock solid and I'm trusting God, now stuff is happening. No, in the process of learning to trust Him, big things are happening, and that's why it's a blessing to have to learn to trust Him. Right. It's a blessing that God doesn't just put trust on our doorstep in the morning and we just kind of put it on and walk throughout the day. Right. It's a good thing that He doesn't put trust on the doorstep and leave it like the UPS man. And we just have, now we just walk around fully in trust. You know why? Because what we need is the relationship with Him, not just trust. We need to have that back and forth, that interaction, that up and down, in and out. As someone once said, as someone was saying at our Bible study, no, at Grace was sharing this, at our leaders meeting. Lord, it's good that I go through these periods where there's difficulty and I can't really find my way, because how else would I know how much you care about me if you don't come to my rescue? If you don't bail me out when I'm sinking, how do I know how much you love me? If I'm just always walking around on solid ground, what do I need you for?
Right.
So it's the process of learning to trust Him that is a winning strategy for work. A winning strategy for work is learning to trust God at work. God's intent is through this learning process to build a closer relationship with Him for us. That's always what God has in view. God is not just trying to get production from us. He doesn't need production from us. Sometimes we think that's what He's after. He's checking us out to see how well we're producing. But really, all He wants to do is love us. You know, I woke up the other day and I sprang out of my bed. I was catapulted from my sheets. With one single idea. Today, all God wants to do is love me. And I want to be as receptive to that love as I can be. My job is to be receptive to His unchanging love. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, the Lord's love is like a stream that flows beside us day in and day out, morning by morning. New mercies I see. His love is fresh every morning, it says. His loving kindnesses are new every morning. And so every day you get up, there's this stream that is following you and flowing from within you, the scripture says. Living water is flowing from within us. So it's there all the time. What we need is God's grace and God's help so that we drink.
Yeah.
It's there. Help us, Lord. Give us grace to drink. And so that's what the Lord wants to do through the work process. His ultimate objective is to use all these things to build a closer relationship with us. Now, verses 50 and 56, where it talks about the whole passage there, 50 through 56, those verses provide a critical context for understanding verse 57. So the thought is simply this: we are not going to be here forever. Our bodies are perishable. We're not going to be here forever. We're not going to be like this forever. And what awaits us is much better than we got.
Amen.
What awaits us is much better, and we're going to get to keep it forever. We'll get to keep it forever. It contrasts the perishable versus the imperishable. See, when you go to the grocery store, a tomato is perishable food. Canned goods are considered non-perishable. A tomato is perishable. A bag of dry beans is considered non-perishable. Folks, these bodies are tomatoes. We are walking around in tomatoes. First, they're green and immature, ripe and firm, soft and mushy, and then moldy. Tomatoes. One day, this tomato is going to be supernaturally transformed into an imperishable wonder. This is what the meaning of this verse. And that's what the therefore in verse 58 is referring to. Because that's going to happen, stand firm. We can't take anything from this life. We can't take our stuff, no matter how much of it we got. We can't take our status, no matter how significant we may be.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
These are not even our forever bodies. We can't even take these bodies with us. Some of us may be saying, thank you, Lord. The minority among us may be saying, are you kidding me? I've been putting all this work into it. Tomato. Therefore, keeping in view that you won't always be a tomato. Verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know,
yeah. There will be a death.
You know, think of it this way.
Yeah.
You know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, I want you to think of this passage as it relates to the work world. So I want you to take a few of the phrases from it. And the first one I want you to take is stand firm. Let nothing move you. Now put that in the context of work. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. The exhortation begins with an assumption that you're going to face some things that you're going to feel moving you or pushing you, opposition. Let nothing move you. You know, this is the season of commencement speeches. And if there's one common theme in all of them, it's the idea that you hang in there, don't give up on your dreams. Probably insert that into every commencement speech. Hang in there, pursue your dreams, don't give up, hang in there. There's a sense of nobility. There's a sense of godliness in the virtue of perseverance. There's something about perseverance that makes our hearts say, yeah, that's noble, that's valiant. There's something inspiring to hear somebody say, you know, when I attended my first class, I was so lost. I went home and burst into tears. And now here I am standing here before you, graduating and even speaking before you. as your valedictorian. There's something about that story that inspires us. There's a man named Bill Porter, and he was born with cerebral palsy. True story, and he aspired to be a salesperson. And the obstacles that he faced to succeed were just incredible. And I found one scene in this particular documentary that they were doing on him, I found one scene particularly gripping. He approached one of his potential customers who seemed interested, but her child, who was very young, was afraid of him because of his movements. And he was frightened, and the mom shut the door and didn't really want to have anything to do with him. But Bill didn't give up. Instead, what he did is he ingeniously used a puppet to attract the attention away from himself so that the child would pay attention to the puppet and not to him. And he won the sale and won the hearts of the customer. And he went on to be one of the heart of the customer. He actually went on to be one of the most celebrated salesperson for this company. Bill Porter. Door by Door, I think it's called. Door to Door. Door to Door by Bill, about Bill Porter. You can actually probably get it on a DVD. It's a great story. Let nothing move you. Don't let people or circumstances at work overwhelm you to the point of being discouraged, disconnected, or defeated. Don't let workplace drama, don't let workplace drama make you think less of yourself than God thinks of you. Don't let it drag you out of the zone of who you really are in your own estimation before the Lord. You know, another word for perseverance, let nothing move you. Another word for perseverance is struggling. So when you say, boy, I'm struggling, praise the Lord. Because if you're not struggling, you've given up. Struggling means I'm still taking steps. I'm still hanging on. I'm still attempting to move forward. Let nothing move you. Hang in there. Nothing moves you. Now, it doesn't mean you can't move to another job. Nothing wrong with changing jobs if the only one you have isn't a good fit. But just be aware when you make that move that in this life, you can't expect to create utopia. Just be aware, just so long as you know, when you change jobs, you're not moving to utopia. There's only one utopia I know of on this earth, and it's in Texas. It's called Utopia, Texas. But I guarantee you, if you move there, the people who live in Utopia, Texas, will tell you, it ain't no utopia down here. And if it was, don't move there, because as you know, the old saying goes, we mess it up. For all of us mortals, it says, let nothing move you. So that's easier said than done, Pastor. How do I do that? The second phrase from the text. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Now, this isn't a call for everybody to go into ministry full time. It says, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Or even to join a ministry. It might include that, but overall what this is an exhortation for each one of us, whatever our occupation or whatever our vocation, to view whatever we do as the work of the Lord. Yeah. To view whatever we do as the work of the Lord. See, God doesn't wave goodbye to us when we go to work in the morning. He doesn't say, I'll see you when you get off.
Right, right.
He goes with us. He goes with us. Most verses that apply in the church also apply to the workplace. Ephesians 5:19, for example, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, note that it says in your heart. Doesn't necessarily mean be singing on the job or loud. Making melody in your heart. No, it could be a little bit of a distraction to be walking through the office or walking, praise the name of Jesus. I mean, it's okay if your work environment allows you that. But here, the instruction is making melody in your hearts to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, the Lord manifests the knowledge of him in every place, which of course includes your job. In fact, Jesus met Peter in his work environment. Peter was working. He was fishing. And Jesus showed up on the job. You never know when God is going to show up. God used Peter's work day to give him a greater vision of Christ. And he wants to use our work days in the same way. Now, how does he want to do that? You know, we'd all do well to approach our jobs with spirituality. Some people think, well, it's the pastor's job to be spiritual. But you see, Paul wasn't writing to pastors when he wrote these words. He was writing to everybody in that church, regardless of their jobs. And so our jobs may be different, but our approach should always involve the same thing. And that means giving ourselves fully means not just doing the right job, not just doing the job right, I should say, but doing the right job. So when it says give yourself fully to the Lord, it means not just doing your job right, but doing the right job. And what is our right job? In John chapter 6, the Lord tells us this. They asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? What must we do to do the work of God? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So our primary job on our jobs, if we're giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, is to trust in the one whom the Father has sent. To trust in, that's our primary task. That's our primary, as far as God is concerned, when he looks at your job, job one is to believe in the one whom he has sent. That's top priority for him. That's the top item on your job description. If God was writing it out, believe in the one whom he has sent. Faith in Christ, trusting in him. Performing our work in consultation with him. Asking him, Lord, what are your objectives for me here? What are your objectives for me here through the performance of my job duty? You know, I wrote in just a moment this past week, on Friday, I wrote this passage here on Nehemiah chapter 2. I wrote, the king said to me, or this is actually from Nehemiah 2, and I wrote on this, the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. And I wrote, Nehemiah's boss, who also happened to be the king, asked him a question and was waiting for a response. Now, it's never a good idea to keep the king waiting. So Nehemiah's prayer offered up between the king's question and Nehemiah's answer is perhaps the shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. Nehemiah didn't have time to search for exactly the right words for his prayer. He didn't have time to get in the right mood. He didn't have time to go to a designated place. We can imagine that his prayer might have gone something like this. Okay, this is it. Help me, Lord. Amen. And God heard and delivered. Having a large block of time to spend with the Lord is a blessing and it's a privilege, but the Lord doesn't give us a word quota or a time requirement. Every prayer stands on its own. Its quality is determined not by its length, its location, or its eloquence, but by the faith and the sincerity that launches it. God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him whenever, wherever, and however we do so. So performing our work, we do it fully unto the Lord by living it in consultation with him and doing our work in consultation with him, putting our faith in the one whom God has sent, trusting in Christ. It means performing our work with reliance upon him. Just trust, relying upon him. Now, I'm not talking about, Lord, help me turn on my computer. I mean, we can turn on the computer. But I'm talking about relying upon him for challenging tasks and relationships that affect our hearts and affect our disposition. Praying at all times, 1 Corinthians 5:17 says. The Bible study, Gary Reynolds was saying, we were talking about what does it mean to trust God? What does it mean to trust him? And I like Gary's answer. He said it means trusting in his character and his values. Trusting in God's character and his values. I would add trusting in his love for me. So perform your work with reliance upon his love for you. Reliance upon his character and values. Perform your work with reliance upon his promises. With his promises. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Giving ourselves fully to the Lord means performing our work consistent with God's approved values. Doing it consistent with his values, and of course that value that all others are predicated upon is love. If there's any commandment, it's summed up in this: love your neighbor as yourself. And because we're instructed in 1 Corinthians 16:14 to let all that you do be done in love. Fully giving ourselves to the work of the Lord means thanking him for his support. No matter how it turns out, Lord, it doesn't have to be perfect, and I don't have to be perfect. You've got my back. You've got my back. You've got my back.
Thank you, Father.
You know, I wrote to him the other day, I was blessed even before I came to the Lord. He was watching out for me even when I was wrong, reckless, and stupid.
Yeah, thank you.
And now, all these years later, he still watches out for me when I'm wrong, reckless, and stupid.
Yeah.
Because for certainty, I am wrong,
reckless,
and stupid. I carry the wrong, reckless stupidity into my relationships at home. I carry the wrong, reckless, and stupidity into my relationships at work. It just happens because I'm human.
Yeah.
And God has our back. It's called grace.
Yeah.
It's called grace. He's still watching out for me, and he does so because that's what he's always done. That's what he's always done. When we weren't even thinking about trying to perform, he had your back.
Yeah.
And he's got your back now. And giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord means being thankful to him for his support then and now. Literally being thankful. Not thinking thanksgiving.
Right.
Being thankful.
Amen.
Saying thank you.
Thank you, God.
Meditating
thank
in thankfulness.
Yeah.
Lord, help me
yeah.
to be thankful. I was thanking the Lord this morning for the wonderful gift of thankfulness. How it changes our perspective. How it changes our spirit. How it changes the way we see God. Fully giving ourselves to the work of the Lord means thanking him for his support. Now you know how all of these things will fit regardless of your job. It doesn't matter what job you have, all these things fit. We live in an atmosphere thick with fearfulness about job security. First of all, you aren't going anywhere until it's time for you to be reassigned by the Lord. You aren't going anywhere until it's time for you to be reassigned by the Lord. And if you're always fully giving yourself to the work of the Lord, you always have a job. These things apply to even looking for a job. And finally, number three, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Message translation says, nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Why? It's not in vain because the Lord doesn't measure results, he measures motives. Sometimes no matter how hard we try, we're not going to get the results we desire. Still, our work in the Lord is not in vain because the Lord weighs the motives. In 1 Kings chapter 8, David got credit for building the temple even though his son Solomon was the one to build it. The Lord said, you know, it was good that you had it in your heart, but you're not going to be the one to do it. Solomon will do it. But David got credit because the Lord looks at the motives. So we can say, Lord, my desire today is to dedicate my work day to you. I want to give it to you as a gift. And the Lord receives everything we offer him in faith as a gift, as a fragrant aroma. And he doesn't re-gift.
Thank you, Father.
Our faith-driven aspirations. He's not a re-gifter. He receives it. It's not in vain because what we become as we pursue godly objectives is far more important than what we achieve. And what we become is more experientially knowledgeable about the Lord. We get to know him better through this entire process. And it's not in vain because of James 5:11. It says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So all of this, brothers and sisters, ends very well for us because of our destiny. And so the scripture exhorts us to hang in there and give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil is not in vain in the Lord, to take this template of faith and place it over our secular employment and to view it through a spiritual lens and to receive the blessings of God as a result of it. Now, and I hope that just this last verse, verse 58, as you think about being a tomato that's moving towards mold. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. But it's okay. Think of ourselves as seeds. Buried and then planted and becoming something immortal. But as you think about your life, as you think about your purpose. You know, I talk to people sometimes and they're desperate to try to find out, what is my purpose? I hope that's not you. Because you don't have to be frustrated about looking for your purpose. You don't have to be frustrated because your purpose is expressed as you day by day live engaged with your Savior. You are fulfilling your purpose, and there will be days on the job, off the job, wherever we are, because the Lord's work continues at all times, there will be times when your daily life is accented with special things, special interactions, the Shazam, as Ricardo would say in Sunday school. There will be days when there is the Shazam, but most of the days will just go fluidly as quote-unquote normal, but know that in the midst of the normality of it, God is doing his work. And as we embrace the idea that he has placed us there, that we can be fully involved in giving ourselves to the work of the Lord, not discouraged, not giving up, not throwing in the towel and saying, Lord, when are you going to start using me, as we are fully engaged with him, says our toil is not in vain in the Lord. And I hope that's a truth that we can all catch a ride on this coming week. Good stuff. It's big stuff. It's eternal stuff. And I want to end with this. He had no idea what he was beginning or how long it would last. But on May 15th in 1941, Joe DiMaggio began a hitting streak that would span more than 2 months and end at 56 consecutive games. It's a record that still stands today, and in my opinion, will be the most enduring one in organized professional sports. Like DiMaggio, you may be unaware that today is the start of something big for you. But it most certainly is. It's the beginning of the Lord's execution of his marvelous plans for the rest of your life. Plans that supersede your own limitations, and even your failures. Plans that have eternal value. Plans that follow you wherever you go. Right into the workplace when you go to your designated place of employment. Plans that are woven into the fabric of your own plans or your uncertainty. I don't have any plans. It's woven into your uncertainty.
Thank you, God.
You've got that covered too.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of God's execution of the rest of his plans for the rest of your life. You see, it's how we look at this, brothers and sisters, that's going to make the difference in terms of how we experience it. Again, the Lord's love is an ever-flowing stream. It's always there. His support, his encouragement, his using us, it's always there. It depends on whether or not we have grace to drink it. And so this ordinary Monday morning tomorrow will become a celebration in which we can joyfully declare, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. But unlike Joe DiMaggio, it's a streak that will never end.